How to be free from pride. They say pride precedes a fall. Because we're supposed to be amani na amani dena. Amani, aman, free from man, free from pride. Of course, this is a quality of an advancement in devotion. You see this pridelessness in the example of Prithu Maharaj in fourth canto. Chapter 21. Maharaj Prithu was about to perform his Ashwamedha Yagyas, and he was glorified so much by all the Brahmins, professional reciters. Yet Prithu Maharaj was not the least bit affected, but he remained humble despite all the opulent worship he received at the hands of his citizens. He was given very opulent worship, but he did not become proud. Great personalities, they never become proud of their power and opulence. Therefore, the example is given of a tree full of fruits and flowers. It doesn't stand up tall and erect with pride. Look at me, I'm such a big tree. I'm bursting with ripened fruits and flowers. Rather, the tree that is fully expanded and fully developed and mature with thousands of fruits, what does he do? Does he stand tall and proud, look at me, looking for worship and distinction, adoration and attention? No, he bends down. He bends downward to show his submissiveness. So great personalities, they're humble, not proud. They have so many fruits decorating the tree of their lives, so many accomplishments and so many qualities and so many achievements, but they are humble. In the Bhakti Sandarbha, Anuchet 247, Sri Jiva Goswami describes the qualities of advanced devotees by quoting Garuda Puran. In this section of Garuda Puran, Lord Vishnu is actually speaking in glorification of his own devotees. Vishnu is saying, or Krishna is saying, devotees have love for my devotees. Devotees are pleased to worship me. Devotees take pleasure in hearing my glories. Devotees manifest choked voices and tears in the eyes and other symptoms of ecstatic love whenever they hear my glories. Devotees dance in ecstatic love for my pleasure. Devotees are free from false ego. Devotees personally worship me. Devotees do not worship me professionally as a means of livelihood. The Garuda Purana is listing that these are eight traits or symptoms that indicate that one is practicing pure devotional service. Review again. 1. Love for devotees. 2. Pleased to worship Krishna. 3. Taking pleasure in hearing Krishna's glories. 4. Having a choked voice and tears in the eyes and other symptoms of ecstatic love when hearing Harikatha. 5. Dancing in ecstatic love for the pleasure of Krishna. 6. Always remaining free from false ego. 7. Personally worshipping Krishna. And 8. Not worshipping Krishna professionally as a means of livelihood. If these traits of pure devotion are manifested in someone, even if that person is born in a Malecha family, one should accept that person as the king of brahmanas, the best of wise sages, and a truly learned person. Gifts should be given to such a person, and one should accept whatever that person offers. As one worships Lord Hari, one should worship such a pure devotee. So although advanced devotee is within a material body, he always remains simultaneously aloof from it. An advanced devotee does not live within a material body, but he lives in a spiritual body, like a dry coconut lives detached from the outer coconut husk, even though it's residing inside the husk. The pure devotee's body is called Chinmay Sharir, spiritualized body. Because a devotee's body is not connected with material activities, as such, he is always liberated, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. So coming to this prideless state of spiritual advancement, we can increase our propensity for serving Krishna by hearing Gita and Bhagavatam from realized souls. The more we hear from realized souls, the more we advance in devotional life. And the more we advance in spiritual life, the more we become detached from the material world. And simultaneously, the more we become attached to Krishna. Aham Ameti, I and mine, how much we are obsessed with the witch, the two witches of the thinking, I and mine. I am this body. I am this, I am that. My this, my that. My home, my country, my wife, my husband, my profession. I and mine. This is nonsense, according to the Bhagavatam. Second Canto, chapter 5, verse 13. Brahma speaking to his son Narada. Brahma says, those that are bewildered by Maya, they always talk nonsense. And they're always absorbed in thoughts of I and mine. So what is the primary characteristic of this material world? It is that the conditioned souls, which means you and me, we think like fools and we speak nonsense. And these two characteristics of thinking like fools and speaking nonsense, I and mine, these are caused by Maya, Krishna's illusory energy. Under the influence of Maya, people mistakenly think and speak about I and mine, who they think they are, and what they think is theirs. The fact is that nothing in this world of matter belongs to anyone. We come into this world naked and we go out of this world naked. In other words, we come in with nothing in our hands and we go out with nothing. We come into this world with hardly even a body, some lump not even defined or developed when we're born. And the body, along with everything else one imagines one has acquired, is all left behind at death. You don't take anything with you when you die. The fact that one cannot take anything with him but is forced to leave it all behind indicates that nothing was ever his in the first place. Under Maya's influence, illusion, Maya means that which is not. Under Maya's influence, one tends to identify the objects with which one comes into contact as one's own. One then invests or places his consciousness in those objects, and he calls them mine. The power of illusion, the power that illusion has over every living entity, increases with the increase of the soul's desire to enjoy whatever he considers his own in the world of matter. Although every soul is naturally eternal, conscious, and blissful, those qualities are covered when a soul contacts the material energy in a spirit of enjoyment. Embracing matter or clutching the material energy is like embracing a prostitute. The prostitute of Maya allures and attracts the soul with inappropriate desires and induces him to forget his spiritual identity. Infused with the desires to find pleasure in matter, the conditioned, foolish, conditioned soul identifies his body with his self, and he speaks as if his possessions were his to enjoy. Maya cannot stand in the presence of Krishna. So those who always keep themselves in Krishna's presence can also keep Maya at a distance. To prevent oneself from falling into illusion, and to cure the illusion one has, one should always remain under the soothing rays of Krishna's mercy. This is described in Madhya Lila 22:31-34. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar. Krishna is sunshine, Maya is darkness. Darkness cannot remain before the sun. As soon as we take to Krishna consciousness, the darkness of illusion of the external energy immediately vanishes. Maya is ashamed to stand before Krishna, as darkness cannot stand before the sunshine. Those conditioned souls who are foolish, devoid of intelligence, Maya bewilders them. They boast and bluff that this material world is ours and we are its enjoyers. One is immediately free from Maya, the clutches of Maya, if he sincerely and seriously prays, "O my dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you, for so many long years in this material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service." And there is one quote from Puran, where Lord Ramachandra is saying, "It is my vow that if one only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, 'My dear Lord, from this day on, I am yours.' And if that surrendered servant prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on."